Good morning and welcome to the Bible Baptist Hour. Pastor Heaton here with you. We are located on the east side of the road as you come into Lupton, so that no matter which way you come in, you can find us. Big sign in the middle of the parking lot says Bible Baptist Church. We invite you to come with us. 9:45 Sunday school, 11 o'clock the morning service, 6 o'clock the evening service, midweek on Thursday at 7 o'clock. Teen time, Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. Our other youth group, the younger 5 to 12, Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We're in a final part of the message, Are You Sure You Are Saved? And I hope by now you know the answer to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 today. Hope you can join us there. A couple called the Grahams will be singing a song for us, Blessed Assurance. When that song is over, we'll finish out the third part of the message, Are You Sure You Are Saved? So let's go now and listen to the Grahams as they sing for us in the song Blessed Assurance, and then right into the message, Are You Sure You're Saved?
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His
says that when He called you, when He saved you, He called you to a holy calling. That has anything to do with preaching. That has anything to do with going to the mission field. It just has to do with living right. Boy, nobody likes that. Let me show you 2 Corinthians a minute. Some folks are going to go home and pray this week, Lord, give him back that whatever it was he had last week so he can't shout. I got some holy water here, though, I'm telling you what I'm saying. All right, verse 1, chapter 7. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote to me. Wait a minute. Did I say second? Okay, I'm reading first here. I drank that water and got all mixed up. Okay. Having therefore, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting what? You see that? You say, well, preacher, I've just been messed up. Well, then stop right now. right now just say, God, with your help, I'm tired of the life I'm living. I'm tired of the life I've lived. I want to start pleasing you. I want to start living so people say, wow, something wrong with that guy. He's different. Something wrong with her. What's wrong with her? How come last week she was like this and this week she's just different? Don't you think a holy life ought to draw attention from this unholy world? Why should Christians go around looking like Hollywood whores and harlots? Tell you what, to dress up and look like somebody that just walked out of some Hollywood movie. I know, I'm off on the wrong track now. I've done crossed over the bridge and upset some of y'all real bad, but I just guess that's, I look at it this way. I've been here somewhere near the 30-year mark, about time for me to retire anyways. I'm 58, I guess I can retire. Some of y'all retired at 52. So if you'll just let me know, 3/4 vote, you can get a new one. Gordy will step in here tonight. You just go right ahead. But I'm going to preach. If this is the last one, when I get done, you'll know you've been preached at. Now look, holiness is the character of God. Holiness is the character of God. Spit on my glasses. Holiness is the character of God. Turn to Titus 2 a minute. I'm just going to show you this. You just do whatever you want. He'll say, well, you got your... No, I don't got anything except trouble. I don't have anything except a job keeping myself right every day I live. That's what I got. And the other job I got is getting up behind here and preaching you this book. And just because I preach this book doesn't mean I'm Mr. Perfect on the earth. It simply means I've been called of God to preach this book, and that's what I'm going to do. God, so help me. Now, he says here in Titus chapter 2 and verse, I don't even know what verse. I'll pick a verse here. Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live what? Soberly, righteously, and what? That's that holiness. That's that character of God. It should emanate from your life and my life that there's something different about us. And the world should be able to look at us any point, any time, any day of the week and say something different about them. Should be there. Should be in our character. It should be in our life. That's what he called us to, a holy calling. He didn't call us to do what we want, live like we want, go where we want, drink what we want. He didn't call us to that. He called us to a holy calling, and that means something like God. Amen. Didn't he say this? Be ye holy as I am holy. He said that. Did he not say that? And Peter repeated it right on us just so we could get it. You say, well, preacher, boy, that's not the kind of preaching should go on nowadays. Yes, it should. Every church in America should be preaching this morning. You want to talk about thinning out the charismatic crowd and the Pentecostal crowd and the independent Baptist? This will do it. Why? Well, that's just not the way I believe. Well, maybe you're wrong. Have you ever thought about the possibility? I mean, just the slim chance. I mean, just about that much, you might be wrong. Has it ever crossed your mind somewhere along the line that I just might not be right? No, most of us don't think like that. Most of us think I'm right no matter what. I believe I'm right. If it doesn't line up with this book, you're wrong. It doesn't have to line up with me. It doesn't have to line up with anybody else in this church. But it better line up with this book. And where it doesn't. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, I'm glad the young people got service tonight. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You see that? That old line, that old cliche, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven so I can do whatever I want, shoots a hole right in the middle of that thing. You've been caught. Listen, as a Christian, you've got more liberty than you've ever had in your entire life. But that liberty is not to be used for an occasion of the flesh to do whatever you want to please the flesh. And yet right here in this room this morning, standing and sitting are people who occasionally get to please in the flesh. And it costs you, don't it? See, when you get saved, you have a holy calling. what salvation is. Salvation isn't church membership. A lot of church members in hell today and a whole lot more are headed that way. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to show you something here. And then we'll move on here. Last point. Probably should get you out of here at least by 1 minute past 3. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2. Now Paul gives them the gospel in verse 1. He declares the gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Most people don't get that, right? That is the gospel, right? Okay. But he says in verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in what? Oh, Paul said, you know what, there's a possibility? There's a possibility some of you didn't believe right. You say, you're trying to make me lose nothing. I'm trying to make you lose nothing. If you got it, I couldn't take it from you. If you're saved this morning, I couldn't talk you out of it. But if you're beginning to question it because of what I'm saying, I check maybe you just never believed. See, you don't go around here saying, well, he just thinks he's right. I don't think I'm right. I know I'm not right, but I know who is right. I know he's right, and I know that whatever he says in this book is right, and if it disagrees with me and you, we're both wrong and he's right. And this book tells me that you could have the gospel preached to you, and you could say you believe it, but then all of a sudden, you give it up. That means it was a vain belief. Listen, I haven't always lived since I've been saved like I should have. I saved it. Give me a second here. 58. I was 11. I just had to add here. I've been saved since I was 11 years old. I wish I could tell you that now that I'm 58, that 47 years I've lived for Jesus and shined every moment. But I'm ashamed to tell you this morning, that is not the truth. But I want to tell you something. There's never been a time in my life. Now, listen, I was raised so that you believe you could lose it. And I understood that part. But I'm going to tell you something, be honest with you. There's never been a time in my life when I thought I did. I tell you, you get the Holy Spirit inside of you. You can believe whatever you want in your head, but your heart tells you something different. Right. Amen. Let me tell you something. I wish to God 100 times over that I could go back to my age of 11 and just live right now that I know what I know. But I can't, you can't, I know I can't. But I'm going to tell you something. I've tried to do what I can to do what's right. And say, you haven't always done what's right. Neither have you. Right. I'm not pointing out your faults in your life. I'm trying to tell you something. If you've never believed, you're lost on your way to hell. And that's more damning than a Christian who sins. Because you all sin. Now, I'm going to give you three things, and this will be over here. I'm going to give you three things that testifies of your salvation. Now, are there more? Yeah. There's probably a dozen of them, but you don't want to hear them all, okay? Romans 8. Now, I have no idea why the Lord gave me this message, but I'm just preaching it. I guess maybe after talking that advantage of the day, it just encouraged me to preach it. Because I know of people, and so do you today, who say they're saved. They'll tell you they're saved. They'll say, well, who are you to judge me? And yet, they are living an inconsistent, ungodly life. It isn't anything like God whatsoever. How many of you would tell me this morning that you think God would go to a bar? How many of you think this morning that God would fool around with somebody he shouldn't? I'll put it in those words, okay? How many of you think God this morning would drink beer? How many of you think God this morning would suck on a camel? Well, maybe I should have used a different cigarette. How many of you think God would suck on some old cigar? Well, help me out here. Nobody's helping me here this morning. And if it's not bothering him, something's wrong with him. And maybe he's not saved. Maybe he's just professing it. I'm telling you, listen to me carefully, parents. The one thing you got to be more concerned about more than anything else this morning is, are your children saved? That ought to be enough in your brain that you watch them and talk to them and try to get them in church and Sunday school, read the Bible to them, get them to understand they need to be saved. Why? Because they're going to come a point where they don't care anymore. And it wouldn't be terrible if they should slip out into eternity without God because you sit in church all the time thinking the preacher needs to get them saved. I don't need to get your children saved. I would like to get them saved, yeah. But you're responsible for them, not me. Well, preacher, you're encroaching on property there. Verse 16, chapter 8. The Spirit itself beareth witness, Romans, by the way. Did I say that? Romans, okay. 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness our spirit that we are what? All right, so let me tell you the first witness of your salvation this morning. I think the most important witness you have this morning isn't. I've had over the years, I've seen young people come up this altar and get saved and be met right back there by that wall by a frustrated and upset mother who would say, "I don't understand this." And I'd say, "What do you mean you don't understand this?" "Well, I know they were saved when they was four." I said, "Did they know they were saved when they were four? They're going to go through all their life saying, 'Mama, was I saved when I was four?'" What are they going to do when you get the judgment seat of Christ? They're going to look there, the white throne judgment. They're going to tell God, "Ask my mama. She told me I got saved when I was four." Is that going to get them into heaven? No. Then get off of your haunches this morning and realize if they don't believe on Jesus Christ, their Savior, they're going to go to hell just like anybody else in this world. It doesn't matter whether they sat in this church, went to a Christian school, attended Sunday school, or was on the AR roll all their life. Get it in our heads, folks, this morning, that salvation is individual. It's something I had to do when I was 11 years old. My mama couldn't save me. She just took me to the couch and said, "Son, you need to pray and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. Amen. You need to believe in your heart." And I never went through the rest of my life running to my mom and saying, "Mama, did I get saved when I was 11? I just know I got saved." Amen. And you need to know that. And what's going to tell you that is the witness of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the primary thing this morning. If you can sit there in that pew and say amen and smile and say, "Glory to God, I'm saved on my way to heaven," then hallelujah. It isn't because of me. It's because of the witness of the Holy Spirit inside of you saying, "Yeah, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven." I don't care whether you bowed your head like these two folks back over here did a few months back, bowed their head there in their chair and said, "Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved." I don't care if you did it there. I don't care if you did it here. If you believed in your heart, you know you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. It has anything to do with where you did it, how you did it. It was who you believed in. And then turn to Romans 5. And we could read with that Ephesians 2:12, but we're not going to turn there. Just Romans 5. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you." And you know, Romans 2:12, he said they were without hope, speaking of the Gentiles. They were without hope, without God. You know what I think this morning? I think one of the other kind of witnesses in my life is the hope I have. I'm not hoping in a good president. I'm not hoping in the Clinton becoming the UN General Assembly Speaker, owner, robber, or whatever. I don't have any hope in that kind of stuff. You know what I have hope in? The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And you know what he says in Titus? "The blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." See, your hope this morning ought to give you some idea whether you're saved or not. Are you hoping that the economy is going to change? Are you hoping to... No. No. I have a very negative attitude towards most of that. Amen. I really do. And you don't want to hear my negative about it, okay? I just have a negative. And listen, I'm not anti-American. I'm not anti-government. I'm not anti-anything. I'm just anti-sin this morning. And I wish I was anti-enough and it bothered me. But I'm trying to tell you this morning, listen, I have a hope that goes beyond this world. I have a hope beyond Washington. I have a hope beyond Lansing. I have a hope beyond the UN, if there's any hope there. I have a hope beyond all that. My hope is in God. And I know He's coming back someday to take me home. That's where my hope is. And bless God, you can preach against sin. You can preach about sin. And I can be doing the things you're preaching on. And I'll be bothered by it. And I want to get right for God. But I'll never lose my hope that I'm going to heaven. You know what Paul said in Thessalonians? He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, which them have no hope. See, I got a hope one of these days. Bury me. Go ahead. I'm going to bust you in the nose coming up out of that thing. Amen. You understand that? You can't bury me deep enough. You can throw me in the ocean, let the sharks eat me. One of these days, I'm going to come back together in little pieces, and I'm going to slap your face on the way out of here. You understand that? I got hope. You got hope this morning? I got hope that one of these days I'm going to go out through this universe, and I got one hope that maybe I can just kick the devil in the teeth on the way by when I go out of here. I know I'm just kind of having fun here this morning, but I want to tell you, I got hope this morning, and I think that hope should be in everybody who's born again. That's one of the witnesses that you're saved. Why? You never talked to an unsaved man and had any hope. Unless he said, well, I sure hope the next president, the next president's going to be worse than the one we got. You said, the one we got's bad? This isn't a political speech. All right. Romans 6. We're going to end it right here. Okay. Aren't you glad of that? 6:21. What fruit had ye in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become the servants of God, ye have fruit unto holiness in the end thereof. I think the third thing, and not necessarily in this order, and not necessarily the last, but just the three I'm going to give you this morning, I think fruit that you bear is a testimony what lies inside of you. And Matthew 7 will verify that for me, that a good tree can't bring forth bad, corrupt fruit, and a corrupt tree can't bring forth good fruit. Did I say you couldn't do anything wrong? That's not what I said. But listen, you know, I'm bothered by some people who call themselves saved. You never see them testify. You never see them. You never see him pray. You never see him in church. You never see him carry a Bible. You never see him carry a tract. Hey, come on. There's got to be something in your life that testifies. Something's inside of there. Amen. Now it's getting silent, see? But I'm trying to tell you this morning, if you're saved, friend, listen to me. We've just gotten away from the old-fashioned salvation in our churches. We've gotten just used to sitting in church and getting some little sermon that makes you feel good so you can go home and have your baked potato. You need your clock clean once in a while. Amen. You need preaching once in a while that just makes you feel like, am I saved? Yeah. Amen, you need it once in a while that just makes you examine yourself to be sure you're not some reprobate. Amen. You need preaching to make you realize you are saved. You are on your way to heaven. You've got hope. Glory, hallelujah. And there ought to be things in your life that would give evidence that you're saved. There ought to be fruit coming from your life. There ought to be people that you've witnessed to. There ought to be people who say, here they come again, move. I mean, seriously, there ought to be people that are scared to see you come. Oh, we're going to get another sermon. Let's go. Don't be standing around here. You'll bring God into this thing somehow. Amen. That ought to bother them. That ought to bother them to see you come and say, watch out, he's got a bunch of little papers with a bunch of words on him. He'd be handing them off to all of us, trying to get us all to go to heaven. Well, it ought to be. That ought to fruit out of your life, see? And that'll be something about you that some people say, you know, boy, 6 months ago, something happened to them, I don't know what, their life's changed. You know, they started going to church, started reading their Bible, they started, something ought to say something about your salvation. Are you saved? You know you're saved? Absolutely sure you're saved? If you died right now, you have no question you'd go to heaven? Well, then I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved, then you ought to start looking like it, smelling like it, talking like it, thinking like it. Father, I don't know how.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to the Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.